Yeah, we did Aleph for sure. I don't know if we went into base, but we can pick up from base also. Now here, this midrash might, in a closed way, without bringing it directly up, and necessarily contrasting with Esav or his descendant Amalek, we might find over here a contrast hinted to, more by emphasizing Yisro, but still there will, I mean, some Mefarshim say it will come out, the Baal HaNafim, I think, says that in that way there will come out a way of contrasting. By speaking of the finer points of Yisro, we're going to contrast him with Esav or Esav's descendant Amalek. Now, so it says like this. Vayishma Yisro, again, we're going to go with, we're going to go to another pasuk in the Mishlei, but here we're not going to talk about other things and then swing back to our parsha. We're going to come directly to our parsha. Kvoid Chachomim Yincholu is a pasuk in Mishlei. The honor of Chachomim, they will inherit. And here, based on a different Medrash Tanchuma, Rabbi David Luria, the Radal, says, Yisro was one of two people who had a unique honor that no one else had. And now only is relevant to discuss what was unique about Yisro. And this is about Yisro. Now, the end of the pasuk, they say, goes on other people, is contrasted to Amalek. And that's what some of Farshim say here. Not necessarily here in this midrash, but you have it he brings it also. The Yifei Toyar brings it. I saw it in the Anofim in a different midrash, but here he brings it. Uchsilim Meirim Kolon. Which is fool. Sometimes Ksil means a fool, sometimes it means a Rasha. But what happens is, from a Ksil, there's always embarrassment, that their faces are covered with embarrassment. So, and that, some say, is referring to other nations that fell to the mercy of Yehoshua when he conquered the land. But in the meantime, that part we're not going to deal with. The Yifei Toyar, at least in our Midrashim, brings it. The Anafim Eitz Yosef brings it in the other Midrashim. But they both learn that it's connected to contrasting Yisro with Amalek, which we've already covered that. We'll see that Yisro is here considered as a Chochem. And why is he a Chacham? So the Rashash says that later on there is a Midrash, which we're probably not going to be covering today, but there is a Midrash that does refer to Yisro as a Chacham. That it says he started out, he was in other religions, so he was more called a Pesi, a man who was foolish, but he wanted the truth, so he became wiser. There's a Pasuk, Yechkom Pesi. So that's basically, we see that he was wise. We see he gave Moshe Rabbeinu correct advice later in the Parsha. So he's a person whom we can legitimately refer to as a wise person. So Kevoid Chachomim Yincholu, the honor of the Chachomim, they will inherit. Now, who is this talking about? Ze Yisro. This is Yisro, that it's appropriate to call him a Chacham. And we're going to see a kavod that he received because of his wisdom that others don't receive. That's one way to read Kvod Chachamim Yincholu. Or you can say the kavod is when Chachamim Yincholu, if Chachamim give out the kavod, then it's a real kavod. Some fool who's not a maven gives kavod, it means very little. You can darshan it that way. I don't think the Midrash is looking for that, but it's a possibility. Now, we'll see where the kavod is over here that's being referred to. The truth is, Rashi and Chumash brings it, but based on this midrash. When Yisro came to Moshe, what was the greatness or the uniqueness of the kavod he had? Or doesn't have to be read as a question as I read it. I'm a little bandit. I read it as a question because it looks like one. But the Rashash reads it as an exclamatory statement. Ma kovet nochal, look at the great honor that he was allotted, which personally I like better than the way I read it, which is how it sounds. But I did that purposely just to make the distinction of what's really here. Look at the great kovet that he inherited, and we'll see that soon, yes?
There are mods that are used as
That's right, absolutely. Or Ma Rabu Ma Secha Hashem. Yeah, absolutely. And that also the Rashash makes those references, even though they're biblical and this is a midrash, but the styles are very often similar. So what you're saying is very true. So Ma Kovet Nochal, what kind of an honor did he get? Still have to admit I was grabbed off, grabbed by surprise here. So we'll see what the kavod is. Vayomer el Moshe, Yisro comes, and he says to Moshe, Ani chosencha Yisro ba'elecha. Either he says, or it was a shliach, we'll see soon in Rabbi Yeshua, he sent word to Moshe, he's not standing before Moshe and making this statement, as we will soon see from Rabbi Yeshua, but he's sending a message to Moshe, as we say in Ivrit, that I, your father-in-law Yisro, am coming to you. Now, so says Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Sholach lo biyad shliach. This was a message sent through an emissary, through a messenger. And why is it? So, what compels us to say, because if I'm here and you know me and I'm speaking to you, I don't have to say, I'm Brisman, your friend who is here. You can just say, I have arrived. You don't need Ani Chosencha Yisro Ba'elecha. That doesn't sound like the way one individual is speaking to another individual in his presence. That's what I saw in the Anafim, I believe, says that.
Doesn't he have to justify? I mean, to go to see Moshe Rabbeinu at that point, no one's going to really know who he is except for Moshe. So could that be?
Yeah, but he's saying this to Moshe. He's not giving it. He's not telling it to the sentry outside. Vayomer el Moshe says, and he says to Moshe, Ani chosencha Yisro, ba'elecha to you. So it says openly Vayomer el Moshe, but Vayomer el Moshe could be a language that's used without our directly seeing each other. And a precedent is made of that from other places here that the Radal Reb David Luria brings, I believe. Where is it? Yeah, he brings that that you have that from Vayomer can sometimes be darshaned like in Purim is coming up in a little less than a month. So on Purim, we read Megillas Esther. And Megillas Esther, it talks about, it's about a letter, but still it's not about direct communication. It says, when Esther came before the king, Omar im Hasefer, the king said with the scroll, meaning he sent out a message through a scroll, and it doesn't say Shalach, he sent it, or Kosav Basefer. It says, Omar, he said, with the Sefer. There, for sure, the word Omar means through an intermediary. So over here also, there's an intermediary. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Shalach lo biyad shliach. Rabbi Eliezer says, those two often, if you know, in Mishnayos are often at disagreement, the rabbis of Rabbi Akiva. Shalach lo igeris. Yisro sent him a letter for Omar, and he said to him, Asay Begini. We'll get to this soon, but what over here is the difference of opinion whether he sent a messenger or he sent a letter? I mean, either it was this or it was that, but exactly what, how each one knows what he's saying and how they have a machlokas here, I don't know. But what is the point of principle if he sent a letter or he sent an agent? The letter's going to have to go through an agent, even though the agent isn't saying anything. I mean, I don't think in the middle of the desert, in Midbar Sinai, they had a post office, and I don't think they had delivery. They didn't have a Pony Express in those days either. So I don't know exactly. Any letter is going to have to be a shliach. But if it is a shliach, there's a difference in the following. Either a shliach says it over, or a letter says it, and the shliach only hands it over. So it could be that the point over here is there was a letter, but was it also given as a verbal message as well? That brings the difference a little bit closer. There definitely was a person who delivered the letter. It didn't come, you know, by a robot. And it wasn't carried by, you know, he didn't toss it in the air, you know, like Mr. What's his name, who shot the arrow with his bow, and where it fell he did not know, you know, Mr. Longfellow. So it's not that type of a thing. So somebody came and delivered the letter, unless they sent it by a pigeon, which is highly improbable, such a distance and through a desert. Highly improbable. So a person came with the letter. Was the man delivering the message also orally, besides the honor of a letter? Or was it the basic shlichus was the letter? What gave it an importance? Was it the human being who came with the letter and maybe told over the words of the letter, or was it the letter? That's I think how you could learn it without making it a machlokes in what happened, which we try to minimize those, even though the Stechemid, I think I've mentioned it before, gives us some license. He brings some opinions that say that if it was something that happened way back and doesn't affect the basic halacha ramuna, there could be a machlokes in what happened, but I try to avoid that when I can. So but if I can't avoid it, I have to rely on that opinion. But here, I think it's a little avoidable. But the content of the letter we're going to see, or of the message, was more. And this is where Rashi in Chumash comes in. Rashi says that Yisro's message to Moshe was that I'm your father-in-law, so you have to honor me, come out for my sake. If you can't disturb what you're doing for my sake, your wife is here and your two sons. If you can't interrupt for me, at least interrupt for your wife. If you can't even interrupt for her, but your children are here. That's your first chinuch. They come, educating your kids might be before educating the Jewish nation. So that's what how Rashi Chumash says it, and here we'll see where Rashi derived it from. So, Sholach lo yigeres. Okay, there was a message, either a messenger or a message, or I think both. Va'omar, and the message stated the following. This is Yisro speaking via the message. Asay begini, come out, take a little time off for my sake. I am your father-in-law. I did keep you in my home for many years. I made sure you were taken care of. I made sure that that you married my daughter. That was something I did. I didn't let. I mean, Yisro did tremendous humanity, just on a humanity level. I mean, here was Moshe. He rescued his daughters. Yisro was at home. He didn't know that. His daughters come and tell him what happened. So he said, "Hey, where is this guy? Where is this man? Why'd you leave him? Call him in." You know, so he brought him in and he lived there. He realized that this was not a simple person. Rashi there brings from the Midrash. He saw that the water of the well had risen for Moshe, and Yisro knew a little bit of his biblical history that was available or that was extant at that time. So he knew where that is a precedent, and he knew that Yaakov and Yitzchak Sivugim were at a well, as the Midrash there says. So he said, he brought up all, he knew all of this, and he took Moshe into his home. He wasn't threatened by having a person of such stature, and he even gave him over to his wife, and he lived there, and he kept him there for many years. I mean, not all of it was as smooth as I'm making it sound. I'm aware that there are other Midrashim that he kept Moshe locked up for 7 years, but still Moshe, when he needed a place, was there. I mean, we're not allowed to. We have to show appreciation toward the Egyptians, even though none of them are left. The race is gone, basically, as far as I know. But we're not allowed to fight them, to treat them in a despicable way, because when we needed them during the drought, it was an achsanya b'shas hadrak. It was a place we stayed at a difficult time. So even though we went through a lot of horrible stuff after that, the Torah says, lo tzayiv mitzri. So Yisro is certainly not worse than that. So he says, come out for me. Now, vim a'inato oisa begini, if you don't want to come out for my sake, you feel my COVID is not a reason to interrupt whatever you're doing. And he understood Moshe is doing a lot of important stuff. Asay begenishtacha. You will nicht riskum in Salib meintwegen, to us for mein Freund, come out for my wife. You don't want to come out for me, come out for your wife. A man has to honor his wife. He has to be mechabda yeser migufa. He has to honor his wife more than his body, it says in the Gemara. So Yisro probably knew that. V'minato isa beginov, you can't interrupt your work for the public for her on her behalf. So what about your children? I say begin bonecha, do it for your children.
Yisro is, you know, it's a little hostile. I mean, he's expecting a fight from Moshe. I mean,
I don't know if it's hostile. If he was expecting a fight, why would he come? But
the way he's talking to him, it's not for me.
Well, he's saying, not in a hostile way, he's saying that I am your father-in-law, you know, I'm coming to visit you, you know, it's only right to come. If you feel you have reasons you can't come, well, your wife is here. If that's not enough, your kids are here. But that he wasn't saying that in a hostile way. It's just the opposite. He was saying it in a humble way, like maybe I'm not a good enough reason for, not because like people here talk, so I'm not good enough. I mean, that's not what Yisro meant. Yisro knew who Moshe was, and he knew the great miracles that happened through Moshe. He knew that God appeared to Moshe. He let him go to Egypt. And Moshe asked him permission. He vowed that he would stay with him. Vayel Moshe l'shavasasoyish. Rashi in Chumash brings it also, as through the Midrashim, that he swore that he would remain with Yisro. And even when God came to him and said, go to Egypt, he still took leave of Yisro. Because, you know, and the explanation is, I said it in this session, I think even last week, in a different context that fits, based on what I heard from my Rebbe, Hagaon Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, about Moshe Rabbeinu, when the war was against Midian, Moshe knew that Hashem meant someone else should do it. You delegate the authority, but you can't go and fight them because you live there. So when Hashem tells us to do things that appear that they're not menschlich, he means to work it out in a menschlich way. The result has to happen. Your influence is needed, but it doesn't mean that you fire you you put the victims, you know, into your, place them in your crosshairs. It means somebody else should do it. So over here was the same thing, that Hashem told Moshe to go to Mitzrayim. Moshe knew that it meant that he has to do the menschliche thing and tell Yisro first and then go to Mitzrayim. So that's what Moshe did. But Yisro knew what Moshe was going about. When he gave Moshe permission and said the vow is no longer valid, is no longer relevant, he knew what Moshe was going to. He knew that Moshe is going to take them out of Egypt. He didn't go to Egypt to look Moshe up. He went to the desert. So he knew what happened. And he had heard. He had heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. He heard about the Makkas. He heard about the battle against Amalek, like we mentioned before. It's the first Rashi in the Parsha. Mashmu Shama Uva. Rashi asks, what did Yisro hear? Vayishma Yisro. So he heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchames Amalek. We mentioned that yesterday also at the end. So basically, Yisro understood that Moshe was answering to a higher calling. So he said, for me, maybe I gave you permission to leave, so maybe I'm not a reason to interrupt. But your wife should be more reason, and if she's not enough of a reason, your children should be. Moshe, it can't be that Hashem is expecting you to do things at the expense of entirely leaving your children behind. That's something which can't be, which today, unfortunately, many of us, just from what we know, can relate to that. Okay, so Dover Acher, here is another approach. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, where am I? No, I'm sorry, Rebbe Lezer Omer. I wasn't looking straight, I'm sorry. Rebbe Lezer says like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Lo Tsei. Hashem is the one who said Tsei. It says like this in the Pasuk. Now, we're going to have to, the way the Mephoshim formulate the Midrash, it says, Vayomer El Moshe, and Yisro said to Moshe, Ani, I, Chosincha Yisro Ba'elecha. I, your father-in-law Yisro, are coming to you. Now, it could have said, if it's a message like we just said, be it in a letter or be it by a verbal agent, it could have said, Vayomer El Moshe, Chosincha Yisro Ba'elecha. Your father-in-law Yisro is coming to you. So the Midrash here is going to say the word Ani is Hashem talking. Hashem is saying to Moshe, Ani, I'm telling you, you go out to Yisro. Then the rest is the beginning of the message, after that one word. Chosincha Yisro Ba'elecha. So that's what it is here. Rebbe Lezer says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Lo Tsei. Hashem said Tsei. So Vayom, and now he's going to explain it in the Pasuk. Vayomer El Moshe, the Pasuk says, and he said to Moshe, I assumed it's Yisro. Now Rebbe Lezer's got news for us. Omer Le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Moshe, Vayomer El Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, and he said, Ani, I, Husha, Omarti, Vahoyah Olam, I, Hashem, am the one that spoke, and the world was created. Now, Shenemar, we say that every day, but he could have brought a pasuk, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, but he doesn't say that. Shenemar, he brings a different pasuk. Kel Elokim Hashem Diber Vayikra Oretz. Hashem, the mighty Hashem, who the mighty Elokim of judgment, Hashem, Havaya, is compassion. Diber spoke, Vayikra Oretz, and he called out, and behold, the land was created. So here actually the Radal says that in the Mechilta and in Midrash Tanchuma, it doesn't bring this pasuk here. But in any case, Hashem says that I created the world, therefore I decide everything. Anihu shani mekariv. And Anihu Shani Merachik. I am the one that is Mekariv. So what's the Ani here? I. Now the word Ani, I'll give an introduction here. This I saw first from my great-grandfather, Zecher Nelevracha, the Shadat Sarov, in his Sefer, Imrei Rashad. So that was published posthumous by my Zayde, Zecher Nelevracha. And in the end, there's a kuntras called Shemi Shimon of synonyms in the Bible, Shemus HaNirdafim. So he writes what the difference between Ani and Anochi is. And there are two svarim from the Malbim, besides his Perushim, he incorporates them in his Perushim, but one is called Ya'ir Or, and the other is called Carmel, or HaKarmel. Now, those are both Svarim, just devoted to synonyms. And he says the same distinction that my great-grandfather says that I'm going to say over. What's the difference between Ani and Anochi? Both mean I, are first person. So he says, my grandfather, actually, I gave it to one of my nephews, but I had it in my possession, writes a little footnote in his copy. He brings a proof from a Gemara. It wasn't that long ago in the Daf Yomi, a Rashi, actually, in the Gemara. Ani, when the word Ani is used, it means something unique about this person. You want to tell your name, that's Ani. If you want to say that you have a head on top of your shoulders and a nose and two eyes, or you're wearing a shirt, or you're wearing shoes, that's Anochi, because it's not only about you, it's about other people. Other people have noses, other people have heads on their shoulders, other people are wearing a shirt, other people are wearing shoes. So the word biblically is Anochi. Now, my grandfather brought a Goyinish proof to that from the Gemara. The Gemara says that Anochi in the Aseret Sadibros is a Nutrikun, it's a Rosh Tevis. The Gemara asks in Shabbos in one point, Nutrikun min HaTorah min Ayin, where do you see acronyms in the Torah? So there are several interpretations given for Anochi, but Anochi is an acronym. Anan Avshoi Ksivas Yehivas is the first example. Hashem says, as if he'd say, I, my life, I wrote down what I require and I gave it over. So Rashi there says, what compels us to say that Anochi is an acronym? Says Rashi on that Gemara, Midlo Omar Ani. Should have said Ani Hashem Elokeichem. God is unique. So it should have said Ani. I mean, I could have learned without that proof. I could have said Ani is a shorter word, but that wouldn't cut it because there's so many Anochis that could have said Ani. So the point is, the proper word for Hashem is always Ani. There is none other. In any way, there's no uniqueness like that. So it should always be Ani. But when it's Anochi, it's representing a certain message. That's the proof of there. So with that, I want to use that over here. Ani fits Hashem, that there's Hashem is the unique one that decides who to be Mekarev and who to be merachik, who we bring closer and who we distance. That shot, that is God's call in plain English. And we're going to see what he decided in the Kiruv end of things soon, Shenamar. It says, so lekai mikoravani num Hashem. Is Hashem, Hashem says, the Elokim is mikorav. Ani, I am nearby, says Hashem. So Anihu, who was I Mekarev? Shekirafti li Yisro velo rechaktiv. I was Mekarev Yisro, but I didn't alienate him. Now, why do you need the word I didn't alienate him? I was Mekarev him. Why does it say I didn't alienate him? So I think I have a pshat. That's extra, but I'll say what I think soon. He says like this, Ani Adam Zeshaba Etzli, this man who is coming to me. So by Yisro coming to you, to Klal Yisrael, to Moshe, to family in the Midbar, is really being Bo Etzli. He's doing it to come closer to me. Lo Bo Elo L'Shem Shamayim. He's not coming because CNN is going to snap his picture and get an interview with him. He's coming only for the sake of Shamayim. V'lo bo elo lihiskayir. And he's coming because ultimately he plans to be miskayir, to convert over to Yiddishkeit. So since I am kerafti, afato, you also, Moshe, must emulate me. Karvehu al tarchikehu. Bring him close and do not distance him. Miad, immediately it says, Vayetze Moshe lekras chosno. Moshe went out. So the Pasuk comes down, Vayomer El Moshe Ani. Hashem says to Moshe Ani, this is openly my call. I'm Makariv Yisro. Therefore, you have to be Makarivim too. Now, what's the lo rechaktiv? I would say it means like this. Every real kiruv, when you come closer, you have points when you take a couple of steps back. You're tested. Are you real? You know, this happens all the time in every process, whether a person became a Baal Tshuva later, like so many today, or even if you're a so-called FFB. I don't like all these titles. I'm just using them to make myself hopefully somewhat understood. It really makes no difference. Everyone has something where we stumble and we have a difficulty. Hashem is saying, Yisro went through that. Don't make anything difficult for him now. No challenges. He's already been challenged, and that's it. At this point, he went through whatever he went through, so it's kerafti. From this time, there are no more challenges. That's the lo rechaktiv.
When the ger comes to a bezdin, or to a rab, to the meanest guy,
right.
Aren't we supposed to initially try to dissuade him?
Right.
So
right.
Dispense with that?
Even there, lemaisa, not all cases are created equal. Sometimes they come at a point where there's no reason to be merachik them. It's not every case. If stam an anju comes off the street and whatever, we have to. But sometimes people are coming, especially bisman hazeh, but I won't even go into these situations. I deal with the situations I'm not going to talk about more than I have non-Jews from the street. Those, usually, most of them I'm able to dissuade, but pretty easily. But even when they do come, if I have reason to know that they're coming to me after having proven that they want it, then we don't push them away. And over here, you know, Yisro is that type of exception. Hashem already knows everything Yisro went through, and that's the chiddush. He's actually concerned with your point here. That's the chiddush of Yisro, is lo richaktiv. Right now he's in, so you don't have to follow what you might do in the future with others. That's, I think your question is really the explanation here. So, Omru, okay, we're almost running out of time. Yotza Moshe, once Moshe went out to greet him, oh, that's a chosh of a thing. Moshe is not expected to go and greet just anyone. He went out for Yisro. Yotza Ara Nodav Aviyu V'shivim Mizikne Yisrael. Every big person, every prominent person followed Moshe and went out to greet Yisro, and that was the big kovid. And there's an even Yeshomrim that really puts on the kovid here. Af Aron Yotza Imam, Daron Kodesh also went out with them. Now, where does that come from? The Aron is called also Kovod. When the Aron was captured in Shmuel Aleph by the Plishtim, it says, Gola Kovod Mi Yisrael, the Rashash brings. So the Aron is also alluded to as Kovod. So that went out too. Therefore, it says Kavod Chachamim Yincholu. So once Hashem is showing that type of kavod, then there's no room to be merachik. No trial and no test. Let's not say we don't rely on all this extra stuff. No, Kavod Chachamim Yincholu. Yisro is not in the category of others. It's only kiruv with no process of being merachik. I believe so. I believe it does, like the first Midrash did, that we mentioned yesterday.